what's up? Welcome to Kind of Funny Games Daily for Thursday, April 18th, 2024. I'm one of your hosts, Blessing. Addy Elie Jr. joining me is The Lock, Roger Pokorny.
Yeet.
Roger, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much.
For your second, third?
Maybe fourth.
Fourth time ever.
It's been a minute. I mean, if you don't count like me coming in awkwardly in between and being like, this video game is okay, and then just leaving.
Yeah.
Like, that probably
that one, those, that one time you gave a game a 1 out of 5.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that was a fun time.
That was a really fun time.
And that was a nice one because I was like a... in the moment realizing, hey, I don't have anything good to say about this game. This is a 1 out of 5. You know what I mean? That was art you saw there.
That was art.
Everyone saw art.
That's like, finally, you gave our review scale meaning.
Yeah. It was like, finally. We see the 1, we saw the 5s a lot. Now we get it.
Now we can finally give a game a 1 out of 5. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. I'm excited to be here. Every day, every time it's like KFGD, usually it's like a Monday I'm on it. The last few times I've been on it, it's been like, okay, Sunday I'm nervous. But it's like, this week, it's just like, okay, it's a Thursday. That's perfect. That's a perfect KFGD.
You're warmed
day.
Up.
I'm warmed
the week.
Up. Yeah, exactly.
You're about to hit Friday, so you're in a good mood.
Mm-hmm.
People call it Friday Junior.
Who says that?
People at my last job. Does everybody not call it that?
I think you guys are a bunch of nerds.
Yeah,
is what you are.
Because then they will call Friday Friday.
God, you worked at such an office. Thursday
was Friday Junior. I don't know if we said
somebody's got a case of the Mondays.
I did have lots of cases on the Mondays at my last job. But you know, I miss it sometimes. We had free coffee. I guess we have free coffee here.
But you had like Starbucks.
It was Starbucks coffee because I worked at Starbucks.
Was it like actually nice? It was actual Starbucks coffee.
Yeah, I mean, it was like they make the Starbucks stuff with, but it was they had coffee machines, so people would make their own coffee.
But they didn't have like a Starbucks in your office.
Well, no, they had that. Yes, they did. It was like underneath me. It wasn't free. You had to buy it.
Well,
but you get the discount. They have like the company discount.
What's that? 15?
Like 20?
Sure.
Maybe 30?
Oh, yeah. A cup of coffee is not what it should be.
If anybody here works at Starbucks, what was the discount? It was enough to where I was like, you know what, man? I'm going to take advantage of this. I'm going to eat smoked bacon, cheddar, and eggs
every single day.
Oh, dude. That was like,
if it was 15, that would have been wild because Vans definitely had a better
I think it was 20. OMGs in chat says the discount was 20, I think. That sounds about right. And I had such an arc. Someone didn't see now. Naughty Biscotti says 30.
Okay, well, I don't know.
I'm asking for the U.S. Like United States of America.
15%. I don't know what's happening.
What
right
is
now.
The discount you work at Starbucks in the United States of America? That was such an arc for me because like, I've worked in multiple like restaurant jobs, right? Like one of the first jobs I had was to be a delivery driver at Pizza Hut.
Yeah.
And they would have a thing where once per shift, you can pay $1 to get like the personal pan pizza. And like during every lunch, I'm doing that shit, right?
Yeah.
Like it's like, oh, a free pizza. Every lunch is Pizza Hut. And I love Pizza Hut, right? Like Pizza Hut.
We know that about you. Yeah.
Pizza Hut was such a childhood. Me and my family would go to Pizza Hut after church and it felt like we were going to the nice restaurant. You know, it felt like we were doing something special. And so I always had Pizza Hut in the special place in my heart. And so when I was working as a delivery driver for Pizza Hut and I was eating my $1 pizzas, I always heard the stories of people that would work at restaurants and they would get tired of the food after a while.
It's like,
you get tired of the taste, you get exhausted, you hate that restaurant afterwards.
Yeah.
To this day, I still love Pizza Hut.
Wow. What do you think that is? Is just you like pizza? Is cheap
I love pizza.
Or whatever? Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
I also have a high tolerance for eating the same thing over and over
again.
Sure.
Yeah. Like, I get really bored real fast. I remember my mom used to make me hot dogs every day for a month. Not every single, but like five
is that
days
what
a week.
Being punished?
No. Like for just like I just wanted hot dogs, so she would just be like, okay, here's some hot. She would boil the hot dogs, like she would just boil them from frozen. I would just eat these hot dogs, and then I just like could not look at a hot dog for the next like year. So like I get really like if you do that to me, like it's over for me for a year. So like I'm happy. I'm happy that you didn't like your first love didn't go away.
Yeah, it's happened to me a bit with like microwavable foods.
Sure.
Like after a while, I had to take breaks from Eggo waffles. I had to take breaks from like.
You ever microwave those? Oh, you
oh,
do
yeah,
microwave.
No, that's my main thing.
Oh, yeah, me too. Yeah, we talk.
Okay, thank
I
God.
Do that as well.
No, both of you are insane. I just love that the first thing you think of when you think of microwavable food is an Eggo waffle.
It's a good one. It's a good
You're
one.
Because right. that's
Why
what people
the
gave
first
me all
thing
shit
you
for.
Think of?
What I used to do is that I had these frozen, like, egg meal, like, meal, like Costco, like, frozen meals where I had, like, it was like egg, cheese, and like bacon bits and like sausage in it. It was nice. Oh, and I would microwave that, right? It would be nice and hot. And it was like a little skillet. And then I would get my Eggo waffles that I would microwave. I would kind of like put them in and like eat it like kind of like roti.
Yeah. Oh, that's fucking awesome. That's how you got to do it. That's what, like, to this day, I did that. Maybe like a month ago, where I finally went and got some Eggo waffles because I did like my one Safeway trip a year.
Yeah.
And like, I was like, I'm going to do groceries at Safeway as opposed to like the like market I have like around the corner from me that's like the local shop. But I was at Safeway and I was like, oh, let me get some microwavable food so I can like save more time and like, you know, preserve more of these grocery store trips. Because like, when you're eating real food, I feel like I'm at the grocery store every week.
Yeah.
But if I get these like super processed. Let me get the fucking purple bag of the 8 burritos that are just frozen in there.
Oh, yeah, you know those 8 burritos.
Yeah, like, I can go a month without grocery shopping if I'm eating
And you look
those.
At that sodium, you're like, ooh, that's 110% of my sodium. Okay,
but it's like, hey, it's fine. You know, I'm saving money. So, I literally did the same thing where I made some eggs, like scrambled eggs, and then I microwaved some Eggo waffles, and I, like, fucking scooped that shit.
Yeah,
that's some syrup in there, too.
That's my guy, bro. That was my fucking guy
good.
Right
it was good.
Look at us.
Who would have thought?
Who would have fucking thought?
But yeah, after a while, I was like, I'm still, like, I'll still go back and eat it. I just need a little bit of a break. That's the thing. And with Pizza Hut, I think maybe after working there, it was like, okay, let me do a little bit of a break. But I get so excited when Andy's like, are we going to do Pizza Hut? And I'm like, yeah, we are.
Yeah. Let's fucking I worked at Quiznos, got sick of it. And then I was like, okay, well, I want to go to Quiznos again because it's been a while. Whatever. And they all closed. So it's like, okay.
All of the Quiznos?
I mean, at least in my area in New York, but like, I'm sure it's so hard to fucking find a Quiznos.
You know, there's no Red Lobsters in San Francisco?
That's fucked up. Did you see that Red Lobster is considering bankruptcy?
So this is how this came up. I was on a podcast last night, and they brought up Red Lobster and how, like, Red Lobster is closing because Jay-Z wasn't doing his thing.
What?
Yeah, because, like, you know, Beyonce was like, when you fuck me good, you take my ass to Red Lobster.
Okay,
obviously, Jay-Z's not been putting it down.
Yeah,
so
that's true.
Beyonce's not been taking his ass to Red Lobster, so they've been have to file for bankruptcy. That's when I looked it up. I was because the other people on the call were like, so, like, when was the last time you been to Red Lobster? I'm like, I don't think I've seen a Red Lobster. And they're like, what? And I'm like, dude, I legitimately don't think I've seen a Red Lobster in years. And I looked it up. Closest Red Lobster is in, like, San Bruno.
Yeah, which I've driven past, and I think about it.
I drove past that one recently, too.
Yeah,
because I went to BJ's. Have you been to BJ's?
Yeah, it's fine.
I liked it. It was my first time. We got a Pizookie trio.
Yeah.
That comes with, like, three different Pizookies, but we got two Pizookie trios. So it was, like, a Pizookie six tuple.
Yeah.
Pretty good.
All right.
Like Pizookies.
Take me to BJ's.
But Roger, enough about Pizookies. I'll take you to BJ's one day. Let's talk about today's stories, which include everybody's playing Fallout. Larian is working on two new games and more because this is Kind of Funny Games Daily. Each and every weekday, we run you through the nerdy news you need to know about live on YouTube, Twitch, and on podcast services around the globe. If you love what we do, support us with the Kind of Funny membership on Patreon or YouTube to get all of our shows ad-free, watch us record them live, and get a daily exclusive show. To be a part of the show, some of your thoughts and opinions as YouTube Super Chats as we go. Housekeeping for you, Moon Studios, the folks behind Ori, are launching their action RPG No Rest for the Wicked into early access today, and we've partnered with them for a sponsored stream. Come see Andy and Mike delve into the gorgeous game, get some Twitch drops, and maybe win a copy for yourself. That's happening today at 11 a.m. Pacific time, right after Kind of Funny Games Daily on YouTube and on Twitch. And then a new Kind of Funny XCast is up on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames. And Paris talks about his time jumping back into Fallout 76. And they also talk more about whether or not we should tip video game developers. And then also, we're recording PS I Love You XOXO later today on Patreon. And it's the return of the one and only Game Onassis, a.k.a. Janet Garcia. Me and her are going to do a question bucket episode.
Ooh.
So you can write into kindoffunny.com/PSILY. Let me click that link real quick to make sure it works.
Yeah, let's just make sure.
kindoffunny.com/PSILY with your questions to get them read on the show. Thank you to our Patreon producers, Carl Jacobs, Kieran Hovasapien, and Delaney Twining. Today we're brought to you by Factor, but we'll tell you about that later. For now, let's begin with what is, and forever will be, the Roper Report. It's time for some news. We have 7 stories today.
A baker's dozen.
There's somebody in chat that said, I feel like BJ's is the Cheesecake Factory of pubs, which is a very British thing to say, but also I think that's probably accurate. It was my first time at BJ's, and looking at the menu, I was like, this gives me Cheesecake Factory vibes.
It's less good Cheesecake Factory. I'm going to be honest. It has more beers, which is nice, and I like it.
How good is Cheesecake Factory, really?
I mean, it just has so much shit. You know what I mean? Yeah. There's just so much.
So you're saying good as in, like,
outside of the cheesecake, though, what else is it really offering?
Yeah, there's some, like, fried chicken and mashed potatoes.
Because you're measuring the quality of Cheesecake Factory based on, like,
Quantity. I'm doing the Drake. I'm like, hey. Or the J. Cole. I'm like, it's about the quantity, not the quality.
Yeah.
That's what I'm looking for.
I feel you. Like, I feel like the quality of the food is probably similar at BJ's.
Sure.
If not... I only ate the pizza, like the deep dish pizza, which isn't deep dish, by the way.
Yeah, no.
Detroit pizza. I think I talked about that. But, like, I did talk about that a few weeks ago, I think. But, like, it was really good Detroit-style pizza.
Sure.
And the Pizookies were fire.
Yeah.
So right now I'm like, all right, Pizookie food quality, or sorry, BJ's food quality.
Well, I just went. Good. I went with Greg and Tim and Mike before we saw Raw down in San Jose, and we was like, oh shit, this is an experience. Like they were like hyping it up, and then we got there, and I was like, this is just totally fine. You know what I mean?
Same
like,
thing
you,
with my
you,
friends.
Yeah, just hyped it up way too much.
I wonder if that's a Bay Area thing.
Yeah, maybe.
Where they just don't get enough quality.
Let's just go to Red Lobster. Fuck them. You know what I mean?
Take my ass to Red Lobster, right?
I got you.
Let's start off with story number one. Fallout 4 was Europe's best-selling game last week following the TV show's release. This is Chris Scolian at Video Games Chronicle. Fallout 4 was the best-selling game across Europe last week. According to GSD data, as reported by GamesIndustry.biz, the game saw sales increase by more than 7,500%.
A lot of percents.
Compared to the previous week, shooting it up to the top of the European charts. GSD's data tracks digital game sales in all of European markets, with the exception of some publishers such as Nintendo, and physical game sales across 15 major European countries. The enormous boost in sales for Fallout 4 is mainly down to a combination of the launch of the Fallout TV series on Amazon Prime Video and heavy discounts being applied to numerous Fallout games to mark the show's arrival. The show, which is exclusive to Amazon Prime Video, was released in full on April 12th to widespread critical acclaim, with a current Rotten Tomatoes rating of 94% and an audience score of 88%. Three other Fallout games also made the European top 10, with Fallout 76, Fallout New Vegas, and Fallout 3 coming in at numbers 8, 9, and 10, respectively.
Wow.
Helldivers 2 was the second best-selling game in Europe last week, followed by EA Sports FC 24.
Cool.
Have you seen the Fallout show yet?
I've seen probably three episodes.
How are you enjoying it?
Oh, I love it. I'm having a great time. I think it's, to me, in a real way, and this is going to, I think it's genuine. Mm. I think it's a better adaptation or more impressive adaptation than Last of Us. In a sense that, like, Last of Us, I see it, I play the game, and I'm like, absolutely, this could be a movie, this could be a television show, I get it. Like, that is like a one-to-one. And of course, they expanded on it, they made it a better product, especially with the Bill episode and all the different characters, but for me, Fallout, it's like, oh, you guys were in your back. You guys knew, you guys were all to the littlest of details. You played these games. You understand the language of Fallout. And I was just so impressed by the smallest of things in the background, the little references to things. Like, to me, that's what makes this adaptation so far, only four episodes in, so impressive.
Well, I will say, in my opinion, I think it only gets better as it goes, right? Like, you say you're four episodes in. For me, that's where it locked in and only got better from there. And it's fun seeing everybody like get the chance to watch it and now like be in the place where I was talking to, I think it was Barrett, that was like, dude, I'm liking like all the episodes so far. And like plenty of people that are like, yo, from the get-go, this thing is great, like all the way through, right? And like, yeah, I think that speaks volumes. You know, I think if we're comparing to Last of Us, I would say it is the more fun adaptation and more interesting adaptation, just from the sense of, you're right. Like,
it's new.
It's new. Last of Us was a story that we already knew. I'm watching the Last of Us TV show. I'm also like drawing so many comparisons to the game in the way where I'm like, okay, but like, you know, I like the game's Joel better, but I like how they tackle Bill better in the TV show. Oh, but like, you know, the production of the TV show is great, but also like, I like this and the game is so cinematic already that it feels like it is. All right, I'm retreading a lot of the same steps in a way that they're able to package it up and put it out as a prestige TV show for the people that maybe didn't play the game or the people that just want to re-experience it with Pedro Pascal playing as Joel. But like, you know, I think with Fallout, it's the fact that you don't know what to expect. And it is, I think it's more fun based on how they're tackling the genre of it. Because this is the thing I've talked about for years, that I am more interested in adaptations of like gaming worlds as opposed to like linear stories. We talk about the Metal Gear Solid movie coming someday, and I'm like, cool, I love Metal Gear Solid, I'll take anything that's Metal Gear Solid, I'm sure that'll be great whenever it comes through. But I'm not as excited about the idea because I have the games, and like the games are already super cinematic, and I'm already getting that experience out of there. Whereas I remember having the conversation about Destiny and like how I think if you made a Destiny movie, it had to be an original story. Like, I think that could be exciting, right? Or you take any game that is more so about the world than it is even about the individual characters. I think that is an exciting prospect because you get to deliver new stories, but then also, you know, explore those things about the world that truly make that world feel like a living, breathing place. Like, I think Fallout for me works so well because they are tackling a lot of the themes in Fallout that work so well, but recontextualizing them in a way where it's like, okay, you know, Fallout's about weird like capitalism, like it's about what you like, the different ways people might tackle an apocalypse in a wasteland. It's about like this weird steampunky aesthetic that is like, you know, the rusted like vaults, but then also just the idealism of inside the vaults, but also like the fucked up Mad Max nature of the Raiders and the Brotherhood of Steel and what that does in terms of like military power, but like this almost like this American exceptionalism that like they're imbued with. There's so much going on, and all the stuff persists through the games, but the thing that makes the game special is that I think the way Fallout 3, Fallout New Vegas, and Fallout 4, and I'm sure Fallout 1 and 2, the way that all those things handle what Fallout is, it's all similar, but they have their own takes on it. And the show does such a good job of, hey, we know what Fallout is, but here's our take on the world. And I think it is, I think they knock it out the park with the way they do it.
Yeah. And the Fallout show works so well because the games, at the very least, you are experiencing it in different ways, right? Like when I play Fallout 4, it's probably a little bit different than the way you play Fallout 4, yeah. Right? So like, I love seeing the way that the creators, Jonathan Nolan and the rest of the creators, were able to take this world and imbue it with so much energy and so much of them, and also connect it to the games and the universe. And it feels different, but it feels like somewhere I've been before in a really genuine way. I'm just blown away by every single moment of it.
The thing that I'm loving the most out of all of this, and I was trying to figure out how to title this episode, because like right now I have it like headlined as Fallout is exciting again, but I almost want to like headline it as like Fallout is fun again, right? Like we talked about how much longer we have to wait until a Fallout 5, right? Like, am I gonna see that in my gaming lifetime? Is it gonna be a decade? Yeah. Am I gonna be 40 by the time I'm playing Fallout 5? Like, I would hope not, but like that seems what things are pointing to. But the fact that, you know, it feels like Fallout is a franchise that is so cool and special, and like a lot of people really, really like Fallout, but it's almost like when we talk about Persona 3 with Barrett, and Barrett's talking about how like, yeah, there's not really an ideal Persona version of Persona 3 when like people ask, how do I play Persona 3? Fallout's had this weird thing.
Now it's Reload,
now that they're putting out the DLC. Yeah. But Fallout's had this weird thing where Fallout 76 sucked at launch, and it's a multiplayer co-op, like this different type of Fallout game. It's not the kind of Fallout game I would recommend to people that want to see what Fallout's all about. But that's the latest release, and it's there for you if you want it. Fallout 4, I would say, is a great game, but it's also, I think, in a lot of people's minds, not the peak of Fallout, and it's still a decade old, right? Sure. Like, even if it is, all right, cool, it's not the best Fallout game. I think if you had the caveat of, but it just came out, and so it's modernized and all this shit, it'd be one thing. But it's still 10 years old, which puts it in this dated place. But then there is Fallout 3, which is even older, but, like, still a special game. But then there's New Vegas, which is kind of the fan favorite, but it's also super old at this point. It feels old to play. And when we're talking about how long, like, if we're calling New Vegas the last time Fallout was like on top of the world, even though New Vegas kind of like had this cult classic feel, I think, when it launched, that was what, 2011, 2010? Like, chat, correct me on the year New Vegas came out. But that was over a decade ago. And as somebody who loves Fallout, you know, you look at it and it's like, damn, it's been a while since Fallout has felt like this for me. And I'm glad that we're at this place where Fallout feels exciting and fun and new again.
And Fallout always felt like, when you see, I think that's the excitement behind New Vegas, and the reason why it is a huge fan favorite, is because we took a franchise that was able to just, okay, we have Fallout 3, we have Fallout 4, but then we're able to just go off and do it our own thing with a different studio, right? It always felt like it had that capabilities because of the vaults, right? Because you can just go anywhere in the country, in the world, and make something so special. So to see Fallout, the show, basically correctly do that, right? Just be, hey, we're going to go, again, we're going to do another city. We're just going to make a whole thing that's not connected. It's connected, but it's not connected to anything else, and we're just going to have that go. It's great to see, and I hope again, last time we had a KFGD together, we talked about this. I hope that we see another studio fill in the gap.
Yeah.
You wish, you hope. You wish that they figure out something, even if it's a different type of game, right? Like, I would be totally fine with something.
Fallout Shelter numbers
else.
Are up also.
Exactly, which is a great game. Yeah. It's a great game. But like, even if it isn't just a mobile game, even if it is something where it's like a small little indie game that's a story-based thing, right? Like, there's so much excitement there for the Fallout IP that you can parlay that into a lot of different types of games, and I think we're just scratching the surface right now.
Yeah, yeah. I'm very excited to see where this goes. Speaking of New Vegas, story number two, Todd Howard confirms New Vegas is in fact still canon. I am not going to go into spoilers about the
Please
show
don't.
Here. I removed the spoilers from the article, but this is written by Moises Taveras, the homie, over at Kotaku. This is the first time I'm pulling a Moises article, which is exciting.
That's exciting.
Yeah.
History.
Amazon's Fallout TV series has made waves since it dropped last week, mostly due to the quality of the work. Fallout's one of the best video game adaptations we've gotten, and one that enhances the series greatly. It also is situated at the very end of the known timeline of the games, serving as sort of a sequel to the series while Bethesda works on Starfield and Elder Scrolls 6. However, there's a contingent of fans who are less than pleased with the implications of some of the events of Fallout, specifically what they perceived as retconning the beloved Fallout New Vegas. Now, people involved with the show have already come forward to refute the belief that it erases New Vegas, and Todd Howard, who largely led development on the Fallout series since Fallout 3 in 2008, is the latest to clear things up once and for all. In a conversation with IGN, Howard stated, quote, "There might be a little bit of confusion in some places, but everything that happened in the previous games, including New Vegas, happened. We're very careful about that, end quote. There, are you all happy now?
I'm excited to finish the show. I'm excited to see what that means.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
Once you get further, it's like very obvious, okay. Like kind of what they're pointing to, even though I missed it, because like, yeah. I didn't play all the way through New Vegas yet. And so like, I saw people online talking about it. I was like, oh, it's interesting.
Yeah.
But I saw the back and forth and the arguments of people being like, damn, Bethesda hates New Vegas, the retconning and all this shit. I removed parts of the article to avoid spoilers, but I think the fact that these games don't take place at the same exact time, like I think all of them might be within a 100 or 200 year span of each other. Like, okay. They are kind of spread out, but they're also not that spread out, because I think some of them are like only like a decade apart or so. I think that gives you some leeway to go, oh, but things have happened in this world. Like, things have either moved on or things haven't gotten to where they are yet, right? Like, I think you have the leeway to do some of that stuff. But yeah. I love that they're acknowledging it, because even with to the people that are like, Bethesda hates New Vegas, I don't even refute that, because they might. I feel like they don't talk about New Vegas that much.
Yeah. I feel like they're maybe a little bit of salt, you know?
A little bit.
They know how to
bit.
Make an RPG.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I think I'm glad that they're at the very least acknowledging it and going, no, it's canon. We thought about that. Yeah. That, for me, makes me feel good.
Yeah. It's seeing the interviews with Todd, and like, it seems like they're all, they very much care about the things that they're putting in this game, specifically for the canon aspect of it, which is cool to see.
Hell yeah. Bear, what's up?
I haven't played all the way through New Vegas, but I do know like kind of end game stuff, and chat reminded me of like, it's also a game with like a few different endings. So like, I feel like there's maybe some stuff with like, the ending of New Vegas that people are like trying to draw from like what the show is trying to erase, where it's like, I don't know, there's six different endings. Like maybe one of them isn't canon, who the fuck cares? And then my other takeaway, we need to stop giving a shit about canon. We need to stop.
What?
I mean, why
are you saying that? You're a Star Wars fan.
Need to fucking stop.
I mean, they stopped giving a shit for a minute.
I'm a child of Star Wars, man. And like, I'm a child of like, who grew up in like the fucking really cool, weird era where there was like way too many books and like none of it like really tracked with each other and shit. We're also a generation just broken by fucking Marvel movies. You can be like, oh man, like this feels like New Vegas Racer, but like the amount of outcry about the New Vegas thing, it seems silly to me.
I feel like canon, I get excited, but I'm also somebody who, I never get that deep into canon. Like I'm never the kind of person that knows all the like the smallest details about like a very specific fiction of thing, right? Yeah. Like I appreciate continuity and I appreciate like references and all that stuff, but I think, having like a good consistent canon makes that stuff even cooler.
Yeah.
When it feels like the writers have thought ahead about these things.
Yeah, I'm like, it's a 50-50 situation for me, right? Where it's like some things I care very much about canon, right? Fucking Suicide Squad Batman, it's like fucking fuck. You know what I mean? Like that stuff pisses me off. But then I like Fallout to me, it's like this whole show could have just been an alternate universe type situation and I would have been like, yeah, totally fine, whatever. Like
I think those are two different things though, sure. I would argue, is because like the Suicide Squad situation wasn't like a problem of canon. It was a problem of like poor writing, I would say, you know, and I don't know. It's just if the thing connects to you in like a whether it's a world or characters or storytelling, that's all that should matter.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I will say I think canon matters to like some IPs more than others.
Yeah.
Like Fallout canon, I don't care about as much. No. Granted, if it is a thing, it's tough, right? Fallout's such a weird one because it is decision driven, and the characters in Fallout, at least the main characters you're playing as, they're characters, but they're not really your avatar as well. I saw, I think last week, there was somebody who's either from Bethesda or somebody that worked on Fallout that was trying to say that the main character from Fallout 4 was also this character that appeared in this cutscene in Fallout 2 or 1.
Wow.
And then people were like, but if that's true, that means he's a war criminal. Yeah. And he was like, never mind. And it's like, that's the part where it's like, okay, well, who cares about that, right? Yeah. Like, Fallout canon in that way of, oh, this character was doing this. I don't think that matters as much as opposed to, like, you know, if, and this isn't a spoiler for the show because we all know the show takes place in California, but if, say, Fallout Season 3, you end up in the Capital Wasteland and Metaton is still there.
Yeah.
I could see that being like a, huh, interesting. Yeah. You all made a choice here. And, like, I think that could be cool depending on how you did it. Like, if you go to the Capital Wasteland and Metaton is fucking demolished, I feel like that's a cool thing. I think that's really cool for canon because that's the thing that a lot of players remember and a lot of players did, right? Like, that was the evil thing to do if you did that. But also, that was a decision that is memeified that people look back at as like, yo, it's crazy that you could destroy Metaton if you want to. If that was what the canon was, or if you go to Capital Wasteland, that's what they chose as the canon. I think that's a fascinating thing to do with that. But that's the kind of thing. That's the kind of thing.
And then people would be mad at that, right? Because they'd be like, well, that's not my ending or whatever. But then it's like, to me, that's like the branches of the multiverse, right?
And for
like,
me, that's
cool.
That's how you play with Fallout canon, right? Like, I don't really care about. Oh, like I can't even think of like characters' names involved. What's the homie? Nick Valentine. If you ran into Nick Valentine and he's up to some different shit in the show, it's like, cool. Like, okay, cool. Like, I feel like there are the bigger things in the Fallout universe that might matter a bit more, but I don't really care about a lot of the finer details.
To me, it's like the vibe of the world, right? Like, if you get the vibe of the world wrong for Fallout, that's the cardinal sin. Everything else around it is not great. People are correcting you.
Megaton. Sorry, Metaton is the fucking Undertale character. Megaton.
It's close enough. We also see Megatron today. Megatron.
Did you see that trailer?
It looks fine. Totally fine.
It's definitely not what I thought it was going to be.
No.
It's weird. It's like very, like, you know, campy.
Very kiddie. It's fine, though. It's fine.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Anyway. I'm happy Fallout's exciting again.
Me too.
I'm happy we're here. Did you play the Fallout games?
Yeah. I played New Vegas. I didn't finish it. Same with you. And then I played Fallout 4, which I really, really dug. Yeah. I played that to the completion.
I love
that
game's Fallout 4.
Awesome. Yeah, I understand people don't like it as much as the other ones, but like for me, like that
one
being the one that,
that
I played, I'm like, fuck yeah, that game rules.
Like, looking back at Fallout 4, I get why people, because also like, I didn't fuck with
like
the building.
I also liked the voice acting. I'm gonna be honest, I liked it. I liked being.
I didn't mind it.
I liked my character talking to people. Like I was not taken aback by it. Right.
For me, it was the crafting and like the building stuff where I'm like, okay, this is a bit much for me. Yeah. But you can just ignore that shit.
Yeah.
And so I look back at Fallout 4 very fondly. I had a really good time with Fallout 4. But I'm also like, I get why people hate on it. But I also think because of that, it's a bit. I don't want to say underrated. Maybe it is a little bit underrated.
A little bit.
You know what's not underrated? Baldur's Gate 3. But before we talk about it, I want to tell you about something else is underrated. Patreon.com/kindoffunny and YouTube.com/kindoffunnygames, where you can go and get the Kind of Funny membership, which allows you to get shows ad-free. And speaking of ads, let us tell you about our sponsors.
This episode is brought to you by Factor. Eat stress-free this spring with Factor's delicious, ready-to-eat meals. A ton of us here at Kinda Funny have been so thankful for Factor since we've been in the new studio, and you can too. Every fresh, never frozen meal is chef crafted, dietitian approved, and ready to eat in just 2 minutes. Choose from a weekly menu of 35 options, including popular options like Calorie Smart, Keto, Protein Plus, or Vegan and Veggie. Also, discover more than 60 add-ons every week, like breakfast, on-the-go lunch, snacks, and beverages to help you stay fueled and feel good all day long. What are you waiting for? Get started today and fuel up your springtime goals. Get chef-prepared meals on the table in 2 minutes with Factor's ready-to-eat meals so you can get back to doing what you love this spring. Head to factormeals.com/kindoffunny50 and use code kindoffunny50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box. That's code kindoffunny50 at factormeals.com/kindoffunny50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box while your subscription is active.
And we're back with story number 3. Baldur's Gate 3 dev is working on 2 new games based on his own IP. This is Kenneth Shepard at Kotaku. Larian Studios has given a few details on what it's up to after Baldur's Gate 3 and its projects, plural. The team is apparently working on 2 new games after the success of its Dungeons & Dragons RPG last year. In a developer's update on Steam, Larian detailed some of the new content coming in Baldur's Gate 3's 7th patch, including an expansion and conclusion for the Evil Route. But it also divulged a few details about what else it's working on. As the studios already said, it's not working on a big expansion or DLC for the game, nor is it working on a fourth game set in the Wizards of the Coast universe. Instead, the team is looking to work on its own IP, and it has two games in the works. These projects are still in the early days, but Larian says the development sensibilities that made Baldur's Gate 3 such a hit are still in place. Quote, I don't know if we're going to pull it off, but looking at our narrative, visual... Can you imagine?
I love it. I love
there's
the
only
bots.
There's only a 50% chance this is actually successful. We might fuck this up.
Yeah.
But looking at our narrative, visual, and gameplay plans, I think what we're working on now will be our best work ever, CEO Sven Vink said in the post. Quote, I get excited like a kid watching the key imagery, want to show it to everyone now, and grumble in frustration at having to wait until it's actually all working. Yes, it's hype, but it's hype because it really looks and feels good, end quote.
Lit.
While the prospect of a new IP is exciting, there's also the possibility one or both could be a new game in the Divinity series, following 2017's wonderful Divinity Original Sin 2. In an interview with IGN in March, Vink didn't confirm or deny the possibility of a new game in its long-running series, but said that its next project would be, quote, different than what you think it is, end quote, while still familiar. Perhaps it'll be a new approach in the same setting, or whatever's next could be inspired by those games without being set in the same universe.
Cool.
Oh, yeah.
That's awesome.
My guess is I think they do a new Divinity Original Sin game.
Yeah.
And then a new IP that is a different genre.
Yeah. Oh, different genre.
Yeah, we kind of talked about this yesterday before this news broke, but like I was thinking maybe you do something in sci-fi or in space or something.
Oh, okay,
that is
gotcha.
Like,
but like the same type of game, though.
Same type of game.
Gotcha, okay.
Yeah, that's a good clarification. Yeah. I still think they make another computer RPG or CRPG.
I think that's the right move. Yeah, I think that's where my head's at. This is awesome. It's cool that like, I mean, I'm not super deep into the community, but it seems like the vibes are like, you do you, Larian. Like, sure, we would love you to come back for Baldur's Gate 4, but like, you know, it's cool that you guys are able to go off and just make your own shit with your own IP and like probably keep a lot more of that money in your pocket. Like it's super cool to see them being so open about their next two games now. And also with all the updates, that's the part that's kind of hidden in this. It's that's dope. I still need to go back and play and finish Baldur's Gate, but like, I'm sure a lot of y'all in the audience need to do that.
I dream about doing that. I think the only way I'll actually like finish Baldur's Gate is if I finally turn the game to easy.
Sure.
Because I am so... I've never been so upset to be so bad at a game because I love Baldur's Gate 3 so much, but I just struggle so hard when it comes to like getting into battle sequences, and I'm so stubborn about turning down difficulty. But I think the only way for me to actually play through it is if I turn it to easy and just like steamroll some of these battles.
For me, it's weird because like I was playing with Andy and Mike, and I was having such a good time co-op, and then we stopped because we're doing a bunch of other things, and now it's like we're never going to go back to it. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, I want to play with somebody else. Like, to me, that is the...
You don't
want to
play single player?
That is the definitive way to play, at least with me, was, like, role-playing with my friends. So it's, like, now going back to single player, it's, like, I guess I could do this, but that's, like, less fun. I'm sure it is not less fun, but at least it would feel like that initially. Like, being on stream, going, like, I'm Nick Scarpino. Like, that is fun.
That's a fun way to do it.
Yeah, and it's, like, that's, like, the funnest way, and now I have to go back and be, like, okay, I'm going to be silent in my room, just clicking my fucking mouse, and it's, like, I guess, yeah.
Gosh. I'm fascinated by what they decide to do. I do wonder if they make two big RPGs, right? Because two games for Larian, like working on them, like
they're big
simultaneously.
Studio,
they are a big studio, but they make some big games, right? So like, I don't know if they have the capability to make two big RPGs at the same time. So I wonder if it is maybe they do make a new Divinity, and then the other game is like a different genre, or maybe it's
smaller games.
What if they have like a Gwent style game in Divinity and they just make a full game?
they
make Queen's Blood.
Up the numbers. They're like, yeah, we got two games.
Two games. It's like one of them is Queen's Blood.
Yeah.
We just got done talking about Fallout and how we're not going to get Fallout in forever. I think it'd be really cool if Larian decided to make a Fallout. I don't think that's going to happen.
That'd be sick.
Because like,
here's the thing though. Here's the issue.
Weird. What's that?
We did hear the CEO, the founder talking about Game Pass. If they made a Fallout game, it would be on Game Pass.
It'd be on Game Pass. And also, I think they said original IP in here in the story
exactly.
too.
But that would be cool though. That would be cool. Imagine that.
I'm trying to find where they said IP. They definitely said IP in the story. So like, it's not going to be Fallout.
No.
But I'd love it to be.
I want
a throwback to Fallout 1 and 2.
I want them to do their own thing. Like I want a full on new IP from them. I think that'd be a really cool, because like, at least for me a little bit, like the idea of Baldur's Gate 3 is just the 3 is a little intimidating. You know what I mean? Like when you see that, to maybe some people it's just like, oh, that's there's three games that maybe, or two games that I'm missing here. So I like the idea of them just going off and doing their own thing.
Yeah. I'm trying to find in the article the IP, because in the article it says that it's new IP.
Yeah.
Which could mean like new IP or just like a different IP.
Yeah.
Like new as in it is not Baldur's Gate, which maybe could open the door to Fallout, but I'm trying not to hope because.
Sure.
I don't know.
No, you don't want to get the head kit. No,
I don't think they would. I'll
get
too excited and then I'll be disappointed when they're like, no, we're working on like a new space.
Someone said Warhammer in the chat. Imagine that.
But like Warhammer already has a series. Like a series.
But like what if they did one? You know what I mean?
But then what's the other studio going to do that already makes the Warhammer games?
They make a lot of games. They make a lot of Warhammer games.
Everybody's been saying KOTOR for a long time for them.
Yeah.
That'd be the dream.
That'd be cool.
That's too good almost.
Here's what else.
We don't. We really don't.
I think the thing with Larian is that they're so talented of a studio, and I think they built enough cachet to where if they put out their own original IP, like a new original IP, I should say, that's going to take off and become so successful. So I think they're going to go that route as opposed to going, hey, let's pay Marvel and, not Marvel, but it's Disney. Let's play Disney so we can make a Star Wars 40%
or whatever it is.
40%. Yeah, drop and give me 50. Let's pay Disney or let's pay Xbox and like have that split with Xbox. That. It's like they're an independent studio and they just made one of the best games of all time. They can make new IP the game and make all that money and people are anticipating it. And it's like Supergiant where it's like, "Oh, whatever you make now, we're going to play it."
Exactly. And we're at the point now where everyone's like, "Hey, I want new IPs. We want new IPs." Boom. We have a company that has the ability to do that. They're whatever they do, you're so right. It will be the biggest thing in the universe.
Yeah.
So yeah, please make something new that you own 100%.
Let me tell you, space exploration, swords, but like instead of steel, it's lasers. Like a sword with a laser, and like maybe like magic powers. Like if you like push somebody from over here across the room, they still feel it and fly off. Or like you squeeze your hand and they start choking.
Oh, that's an interesting one. So I was thinking like maybe if we had a gun and it had a chainsaw on the underneath it, right? And you cut like aliens in half, but those aliens come from the ground. Gears of War. Imagine they did.
I was thinking Dead Space. I was going Dead Space or Helldivers 2. I couldn't tell which.
You didn't think Gears of War?
No. Listen, you know it's Dead Space. Because, like, hear me out. You know, you go to space, and you're in a space station.
What if they make
zombies.
Dead Space 2, finally?
they remake it. They're like, fuck it. We're done with making dope-ass games. We're just going to remake the older ones.
Finally.
Let's move on. Story number 4. Nintendo emulator Delta launches on the App Store. This is Taylor Lyles at IGN. After Apple loosened its policies on allowing retro game emulators, developer Riley Testut launched a new free emulator on the App Store yesterday, offering support for several Nintendo consoles from yesteryear. In a blog post, Testut revealed Delta serves as a successor to GBA for iOS, providing support for not just Game Boy games, but also NES, Sega Genesis, SNES, N64, and even the Nintendo DS.
Holy shit.
More interestingly, Testut teased that it would support more emulators on the App Store listing, but did not specify which emulators exactly. The app is free to download in Apple's official stores worldwide, including the United States. Those in the EU can download it through AltStore Pal, a third-party marketplace released yesterday thanks to the EU's Digital Markets Act, which allows third-party app stores to be hosted within the App Store.
Hell yeah, bro. I mean, this is cool. It's cool. It's wild to me because I was talking to my brother about this last night. He looked at me and said, Roger, are you ever going back to Apple? Are you going back to iPhone ever? And I'm like, no, because I want to be able to do what the fuck I want on my phone. I like being able to sideload apps. I like being able to have emulators, allegedly, whatever I want to do.
I mean, emulators aren't illegal, so you can have all emulators.
No, but I'm saying like, you know.
It's the ROMs are going to get
you
in trouble.
Sure, fine.
We would never do such
a
thing.
Fine, legally I have emulators,
never
whatever.
Never touched a ROM in my life.
only
ROM
one.
I know is the vacuous spider.
Facts.
The Bloodborne reference.
I didn't get it, but like I was trying
somebody
to
out there's going to
I was
like
yes-anding, you know what I mean? But this is exciting to me because I know how like desperately iPhone users and Apple users have needed this for so long.
Dude, it's crazy that iPhone users haven't had this forever.
Yeah, my girlfriend has like downloaded like the weirdest, shadiest apps in order to make this happen so she can play Hello Kitty, allegedly, from the Game Boy Advance on her iPhone, and it just works sometimes. So like, this is great that this not only has SNES, Sega Genesis, NES, Game Boy, N64, and Nintendo DS. Like, that is a wild amount in one emulator. Like, good on them for making that happen. That is crazy shit.
That's fucking awesome. And it brings me back to high school where I had it was like one of my first Android phones. It was the Samsung Moment that had a slide out keyboard.
Oh, that's so sick.
Yeah, I miss it so much. They stopped making the slide out keyboard so quickly after that.
I want it
because the iPhone took over and people were like, okay, well, no, like we're gonna do only touchscreen. I love the slide out keyboard.
That was a moment, bless.
That was so good.
I think that might have been my last non iPhone phone that I had was something very similar.
If they made a Samsung Galaxy,
I may or may not have played Mario 64 on it.
And that's the thing. Allegedly. Is I played so many classic games. I caught up in so many games, allegedly.
Let's just drop the allegedly, okay?
In the back of my English class in high school. I'm back there playing Earthbound. I'm back there playing Fire Red. I'm playing not listening to anything. I'm playing Kuru Kuru Kururin. I don't know if you know that one.
Yeah.
For Game Boy Advanced. I'm playing mad games.
Yeah.
I played so many games in the back of class.
Yeah.
In college, I had an N64 emulator on my laptop, and in the back of like my big lecture hall, right? I'm back there playing Tetris, the new Tetris for the N64. God.
Oh, I thought you were gonna name more Tetrises. I thought you were saying Tetris, new Tetris, and then you were gonna be like Hatris.
I mean, I tried Tetrisphere, didn't like it that much.
Yeah, Tetris.
I was back there playing BioFreaks.
I remember playing on my Android phone. This is why, like, again, I can't go back to iPhone. No hate, but. I couldn't go back to iPhone at that time because I was playing fucking, when I was a kid, Ninja Gaiden on the NES on my phone. And I was like, this is so sick. And then like I had an iPhone 4 at the time and I was just like, oh, let me try that. It's like, oh, I can't do that. I have to jailbreak it. You got to get Cydia on that bitch.
Oh, God.
Miss Cydia.
Go to jail for that.
Miss Cydia.
Yeah, because cool. Shout out all the iPhone users. Have fun playing Mario 3. Have a blast out there. Happy for you. Story number 5, EA's Black Panther appears to be an open world sandbox based game it's an open world sandbox based on a job posting. I'm pulling from Michael Cripe at IGN. EA's upcoming Black Panther game will be an open world experience, according to a new job listing from the company. The job post calls to fill a senior sandbox designer role for the recently established Cliffhanger Games. Most details about its mysterious Black Panther project have been kept secret since its announcement last year. However, the listing teases that applicants should expect to be instrumental in designing designing and populating encounters, systems, and gameplay within a dynamic and evolving open world, should they land the position. It's a role that will help Cliffhanger, which includes talent from Middle-earth Shadow of Mordor, expand the Marvel hero by creating an open-world experience. The listing says that successful applicants will help create sandbox elements that mix with the narrative and gameplay objectives without compromising immersion. Additional details promise potential features like urban crowds and wildlife in what is described as a living, breathing game world. One bullet point teases how Cliffhanger will implement linear missions within the open world, quote, partner with the design team to integrate sandbox dynamics into the mission design, facilitating seamless transitions between structured missions and open world exploration. EA has declined to comment. We kind of already knew this, but it was based on like leaks and reports. This is the first time I believe that we've gotten like any quote unquote official, but like word coming from EA that this might be an open world.
Yeah.
Black Panther game.
And the Captain America Black Panther game. What's that name of the game?
1943 Rise of Hydra.
Awful
1942.
Name.
Awful name.
Awful name.
I was
one
so
of the,
close.
One of the worst
off.
Names humanly possible you can make for a game with Captain America and Black Panther.
Yeah, right?
It's insane shit.
Literally just call it Black Panther and Captain America.
Wild shit. But like, whatever. So that game is a linear game, right?
Yeah.
We know that for a fact. So this is cool that this is scratching that itch of you're exploring Wakanda, you're running around. Like that's awesome. And playing a little bit of the Avengers DLC, which with Black Panther was cool in the beginning of like running around, jumping, like that's awesome. Like I'm excited for that. I'm excited for this is like one of the few times where it's like, oh, there's an open world sandbox game, and I'm like, oh shit, I'm actually excited for this. that's a cool idea.
I'm excited for both of the games.
Yeah.
It is crazy that Disney and Marvel greenlit both of these games at the same time, like big AAA games heavily featuring Black Panther as a main playable character. That's wild, and I don't know if that's unprecedented. Like it feels like something that's unprecedented, right? Because there could be a lot of confusion there. That said, I think both approaches are really fascinating and really exciting, right? Yeah. Amy Hennig being able to work on a linear, hey, this is about Black Panther and Captain America and that back and forth, and then also you have a couple other characters that I believe are playable as well. That is super exciting. And when we saw that demo from GDC where you get like the performance of the Black Panther, I forget the actor, counterpoint.com/you're wrong, but like him being like, you know, that shield doesn't belong to you, like it looks so fucking good, and I cannot wait for it. This open world one, I think sounds exciting. I want to see a trailer, right? Yeah. Like, I want to see what it looks like in motion. If they're able to capture in the way that when we're playing Spider-Man from Insomniac, how good the momentum feels when you're running on walls, when you're swinging through New York, when you're navigating through the world, where you're using your wingsuit. If they're able to capture that level of movement, but as Black Panther, I don't know what that looks like, but I think you have to do that.
Yeah.
If you're doing an open world game as Black Panther, like, I'm sure there might be wall running too. But like, yeah. You know, what does sprinting feel like, right? Like, what does parkour feel like? Yeah. Are you having those elements? am I like on a mount? Am I riding a horse? like how do you go about
a big panther?
Am I riding a dude? That'd be fucking insane.
That'd be lit, bro. That, like a spectral panther. Like it's like from like it's like a ghost panther or whatever you're finding. That's cool.
I mean, when you put it like that, I don't know if I want that, but at the same time, I'm like, yo, honestly, let's see what that
I'm
looks
excited because
like
I mean, Wakanda's just the coolest in the world. Like, it's the coolest place in the world.
Honestly,
like,
that's the cooler thing about it.
Yeah, it's just, it would be awesome to walk around just the city, like the marketplaces of Wakanda, and then be like, okay, now I'm going to go out into the forest, right? Like, I'm going to go and hunt things. Like, that's so sick.
And that's what I imagine the pitches were like in the Disney, like, executives room, where John Drake like, has two meetings back to back, and he sits with Amy Hennig, and Amy Hennig's like, hey, this is the story I got. It's Captain America. It's Black Panther. It's this. It's linear.
It's
and
not
it's like,
in Wakanda.
It's, it feels like Uncharted and all this stuff. And John Drake is like, yes, we have to make this. And the next day, EA comes through, and EA's like, yo, we're going to make a studio. They're going to make an open world game, and that open world is going to be Wakanda. And John Drake is like, fuck. Well, we just greenlit a Black Panther game, but this also sounds cool. So like, yeah, just make them both. We'll make them both. Like, I wonder what those pitches were like, because it's crazy that again, both these games are being made.
It's like the Prince of Persia situation that's like happening this year.
Yeah, you know? Right? And like even with that, it's like, okay, well, those are Prince of Persia. I guess that is it's a very similar thing.
Yeah.
And I feel like it might take away from it, but I think early access might be the way that they're getting around it.
This Black Panther game, I'm assuming, is not coming out in the next 2 years, right? I mean, if they're hiring for an open world designer, right? Like, this is probably
it might be
end of the
out.
Generation video game probably. That you would see maybe cross generation for the next one.
If I had to predict, I'll say either 2025 or 2026 for the Amy Hennig Black Panther Captain America game. And then, like, I'll say even 2027 for the EA one. But, like, 2026 and 2027 to get two very different Black Panther games, that's still pretty close to each other.
Yeah.
But also, that's me speculating. Who knows? We're going to get these.
Really quick, I have a poll up in both the Twitch and YouTube chat. Which is the worst name, Marvel 1942 or Indiana Jones and the Great Circle?
Oh, it's easily 1942.
At least in the Twitch chat, 1942 is winning a little bit. In the YouTube chat, bunch of psychopaths.
Insane shit.
Great Circle is winning by, like, it's 65% to 35%.
Here's my thing with Indiana Jones and the Great Circle.
It says Indiana Jones. At least it says Indiana Jones.
And here's the thing: it's a bad name compared to the other Indiana Jones titles.
Yes.
That's the only reason.
With Marvel 1942, what Rise of Hydra. That? To your point, you have Captain America and Black Panther as the main characters in the game.
Yep.
Call the game Captain America and Black Panther are homies. Call it Captain America versus Black Panther.
Yep,
look
exactly.
How that flies off of sales or flies off of shelves.
Yeah.
Come on, man.
Flies off of sales.
Okay, flies off of the sales.
My favorite thing is when we were talking about the meeting, John Drake, I kept on doing this motion, like he's putting $100 bills.
Yeah, he's just like laying it out.
Amy Henning, that's a great pitch. Here's
$200. Infinite Corpse is the cap and the cat.
I love it. I love it.
Yeah, chat, come up with new names for Marvel 1943.
This is why we're not in the boardrooms, everybody.
This is why John Drake is never going to text me back.
Never.
I'm not texting him in the first place. I should send him a text. He's like, hey, what's up, man? I heard B-23 is around the corner. You want to get
I did a great job last time. I did a great job.
I'll be back in. Story number 6. Medieval 2 Remake reportedly is releasing soon. This is Armina Khan at PlayStation Lifestyle. An insider who previously leaked the existence of Gravity Rush 2 PS5 remaster now claims that Medieval 2 Remake is in the works and its release date is sooner than we think. Despite his previous denials, Other Ocean Interactive has reportedly been working on the project since 2021. The leaker happens to be semi-popular Discord member Orangi. Orangi?
Orangi? Semi-popular Discord member is going to be like, I want that on my tombstone.
Semi-popular Discord member Orangi,
awesome.
Who is allegedly a playtester, which I'm going to come back to that in a second.
Yeah.
We can't comment on the authenticity of their claims on their reputation, but they did accurately, why are they roasting him in this article? They did accurately leak information pertaining to the Gravity Rush movie in the past. Nevertheless, take this with a grain of salt. According to Orangi, we will see the Medieval 2 remake in May 2024. which has led to speculations that it'll be shadow dropped during the rumored PlayStation showcase. Now, there's a lot of like extrapolation going on here.
I think it's just fucked up that we live in a world where like I know they're different companies, but Dead Space 2, like, we can't do that remake. Medieval.
We could do that one.
We're gonna
do
a remake
easily.
For the sequel to that.
Hey man, it's a different different company. PlayStation, man. You know what I mean?
Where the fuck is Sly Cooper? Have we had a conversation about that? Where the fuck is Sly Cooper? Where was the movie? Do you remember the movie?
I do. I think I watched the trailer.
They had a whole trailer for this fucking movie. What are we doing?
Where are we putting Sly Cooper as an IP compared to Medieval, though?
We have no other IP, Raj.
Wait. No. IP. I'm not even going to entertain what you just said. What did you say?
I just said when we talk about Sly Cooper and we talk about Medieval in terms of IP power, apparently PlayStation just picked a side because we got a Medieval remake not that long
Jim
ago.
Jim Ryan
already.
For sure was like a fucking Medieval guy. You know what I mean? Like that. Yeah.
It was one of three games he ever played.
I love the idea that like Jim Ryan, Herman Holst, and Mark Cerny are sitting in a dark room with like a pentagram in the middle.
Knack, Medieval,
yeah. And they're like, we're gonna fucking make more Medievals, and they're gonna like it. We're gonna Medieval this shit into existence.
It's cool, I guess. I'm happy for Medieval fans. I hope this happens for them. Sure, why not? Whatever. But like, what? First of all, I don't understand this guy's deal. I don't know anything about Medieval. I don't know this guy's deal. And also, like, where's Sly Cooper?
My genuine answer to why we get Medievals and we don't get Sly Coopers is that Sly Cooper has too much expectation. And like, if you make a Sly Cooper, it has to be bigger, like bigger scope and bigger budget. These Medieval remakes, like that last Medieval remake, that didn't look that crazy. That wasn't like Blue Point. Like, it wasn't a big budget, big thing, right? I think they can treat those as almost like AA type like releases and not put as much work into it. Whereas the expectations for Sly Cooper are just so high that if you're going to make a new Sly Cooper, you got to make a new Sly Cooper.
You got to make that motherfucker.
Yeah.
Release the movie. Where's the movie? Where's this movie? I was so excited for this fucking movie.
I want that Acme movie that sounded awesome.
Yeah.
Fucking, why not?
I'm just
that movie sounded great.
I'm just baffled by the
I want the Batgirl movie. What are we doing? But also, and I didn't want to. Arangi, you're a playtester? And you're leaking shit? Stop doing that. Don't do that. That's bad.
That's
breaking embargo.
Also, are you a playtester, but also learning about like what the PlayStation movies are? I don't think that
there's a lot of weird things going on in this story. A lot of it doesn't come together.
The weirdest one being Medieval 2 is getting a fucking remake. Kevin Coelho was one of 10 people who played the first
one. Yeah, who played this first one? How did they get Medieval? How did they get a sequel for that?
Wait, you're talking about like on PS1?
No, the remake.
How is the second one getting a remake?
I'm baffled that actually happened. That's crazy. I mean, good for them. Again, I'm just like,
they have a
wild
team. There's a team at PlayStation that's like, yo, we have the capabilities to make small games. Yeah. And they're like, oh shit,
it's sold enough. I guess it was profitable.
They're like, oh, I guess having to work on Medieval games.
Good for y'all.
When Dark Cloud is sitting right there.
I'm just salty.
I'll take a smaller Dark Cloud game.
I'm just salty. I just want Sly Cooper, guys. I'm sorry. I don't mean to take it out on Mr. Medieval.
I'm sure the Medieval fans are listening. Sorry, excuse me. I'm sure the Medieval fan is listening to this.
He's in the room with you. Kevin, what do you think about a Medieval 2 remake? He's just staring at
me. They're doing a Medieval 2 remake.
Yeah.
Oh, he didn't even know the original one out of second.
He did not know the original out of
second. That's how deep the fandom goes.
Jesus Christ.
No, we're just talking shit about
shit about Medieval. But yeah. Roger's sad because he's not getting a Sly Cooper.
Yeah, it's a whole thing.
Roger, we just talked about a bunch of big things.
Yes.
And maybe one smaller thing, Medieval. But if I wanted something even smaller, say the tiniest news I need to know about, where would I go?
You'd go to our last news story, the Wii News Channel, where we cover all the small news items you need to know about.
Now it's time for story number 7. That's right. It's Wii News.
Ooh.
F1 24 launches May 1st. Sorry, May 31st. It's very important. Two very different dates. Human Fall Flat 2 has been delayed to 2026. Wow. Octopath Traveler is back on the eShop. No Rest for the Wicked is out today on PC Early Access. Final Fantasy 16 Rising Tide DLC is out today. And then somebody added a link. Who added this link?
Oh.
What was this?
For Honor is getting an Ezio Auditore skin because what fucking year is it?
Sick.
Incredible stuff.
And that's it for
we got years. That. We didn't get Sly Cooper.
Again, difference.
Sly Cooper.
It's easier to put your Ezio skin in a fucking For Honor. Is it just a skin? Like, can I play as Ezio?
Yeah.
It seems like it.
Like, but like, not just the skin, but like, is it a character? Am I using his abilities? Because
he had the little thing. Sneaky
yeah,
snap.
Yeah, he looks like he's playing like.
Oh, yeah, he's got the.
It's not just a skin. You're playing as Ezio.
Oh, you're playing as the assassin.
That's actually really neat.
When you said skin,
I thought it was just a cosmetic. This is fucking dope.
I want to get back into. Oh, I want to play For Honor for the first time.
I'll play with you. I'm down to play For Honor.
Red Lobster, guys. Let's play For Honor. I'll take your ass to Red Lobster.
Let's go. Let's do it. We're going to keep it in business. That's it for Wii News. Now it's time. We should figure out a transition for the end.
No, I love the hard cut. Let me keep the hard cut. I think it's fucking funny.
We got a bunch of super chats for you. Kebabs gives us a super chat and says, will Final Fantasy VII Rebirth and its sequel pick up once the remake project is complete, or will they continue the downward trend?
Sorry, repeat that. This is Final Fantasy.
I think he's talking about sales. Will sales of the Final Fantasy VII Rebirth, will sales of FSM Rebirth and its sequel pick up after the whole thing's finished, is what they're saying.
Oh, are the sales down? Is that what's happening here?
Yeah, it was reported that the sales are down and also like not meeting. Well, actually, sure. I don't know if you said they're not meeting Square Enix's expectations. We can assume that. But yeah, the sales are down.
I mean, you would assume that for the last game, they're going to be like, it's a triple pack or whatever for $70 or $80 or whatever. Because like they did for this one, right? Where it's like a dual pack if you pre-ordered the game.
Yeah.
So I mean, in that sense, sure. But I don't think anyone's...
That's what's going
to other sense. I think I'm still convinced that PlayStation has the exclusive rights to this trilogy until the entire thing is out. And then once that contract is up, then it can go finally to other platforms like Xbox and PC and all that shit.
Yeah, that's what I was going to put out there is that one, I think by the time we get there and everything's out, I think the year after whatever the third installment is, yeah, it comes to Xbox, it comes to maybe not Switch, but like it'll come to everywhere. But then also, I would think that by the time we get Final Fantasy VII 3, which is crazy. I think once we get that, they put out the PlayStation 6 version trilogy. Mm-hmm. Final Fantasy 7 trilogy, PlayStation 6.
Yeah.
I think they put that out, and I think that sells gangbusters. A lot of numbers, but I think that's the ultimate edition. I think that sells gangbusters. I think that's the edition that, then makes its way to other consoles.
Yeah.
I think they're going to find ways to bundle it and improve everything and like sell it to people that way, because I don't think if you just put out Final Fantasy VII 3.
It like all ever goes backwards and
everyone. Yeah, like I'm sure sales are going to bump, but it's not going to be like it's going to sell games.
No, put it in a pack and then make it. And also for PC too. The Rebirth is going to come out on PC probably in the next year, you assume, right?
Probably.
Yeah, so that's also going to boost the numbers because that game sells like gangbusters on PC. So, yeah.
Street Shadow writes in and says, question for Bless, have you watched Twisted Metal yet? Because if you liked Fallout, Twisted Metal has that fun vibe that pulls on lore in the world. I've not watched Twisted Metal yet.
Wait, really?
Well, I watched the first episode. I was like, I'm good. The first episode didn't pull me in as much as I expected it to.
I don't know why. Like, I just had like this weird like moment where I just could have sworn that you watched all of Twisted Metal.
No, he was just the biggest fan of it before.
Yeah,
it was
that's
out.
Where it is.
Yeah, before it was out, I was like, y'all, this Twisted Metal show looks good. I never said that I was gonna watch the fuck out of it.
I'm sure you did.
I may have.
I'm sure you
did. As you said that just now, I saw the doubt in your eyes.
I saw the smile. You're like, ah, shit.
But yeah, no, I was like, no, this Twisted Metal show looks like it could be. I said Anthony Mackie is a funny man. I think he's a good lead character. I think the premise sounds dope. Like, I was talking up the Twisted Metal thing, and then it came out, and it was good. But yeah, I watched the first episode, and I was like, cool.
Yep.
We'll see if I come back to this, and I didn't. Maybe I will before season two or something. But yeah, I Fallout, though, is an easier watch for me because I like Fallout a lot. I'm already bought into that world, and I've played the games. And so Twisted Metal, I don't have that same connection with. And so I don't have the same desire to watch the Twisted Metal TV show. But I do like Anthony Mackie. So
yeah,
Gonzu writes in and says, "I only played Fallout 4 because my cousin who died by suicide loved Fallout, and I don't. But I'll give the game another shot, just for him." Oh, that's sweet.
Beautiful.
But yeah. Oh, that sucks. Rest in peace. And then Optimus Prime says, 99% sure Todd said in an interview, the show isn't supposed to directly reference the endings of the games, so there is no canon endings to them.
Sure.
Yeah. But I feel like you have to, at a certain point, you have to pick a canon, right? Like, you have to be like, okay, well, if we're going to make a show that takes place in this location, time has to move.
Yeah.
And so we have to figure out, like, all right,
not
what happened?
Jumping to different locations each time, though.
Exactly. Really. Just all around.
Yeah.
Go to Canada.
Like, at some point, to go to the East Coast, they got to go to the Capital Wasteland, and we got to see what's up with Megaton.
No, we'll just we'll go more south.
See what's up with Megatron?
What's
up with Megatron, everybody?
We'll go on the East Coast, but like south, you know.
We're going to Florida? Hanging out in Miami?
Where's Rick Ross?
Yeah, maybe Miami. Too close to GTA, but like maybe New Orleans might be a good spot for Fallout if they haven't done that in a DLC.
New Orleans Fallout would be sick. Well, people wanted that. If you remember Fallout 4 leading up to it, people were speculating New Orleans.
I don't remember that because it was 10 years ago.
Yeah, I remember
Let's go to a different country. Fuck it.
I feel like other countries don't exist in Fallout except for China. Like, China's the only other country that exists. Other than that, they don't talk about other countries at all.
Go to another country.
Here's my Fallout Trinidad. Here's my thing. Because I mentioned Miami and Florida.
Niche is the niche.
I would bet money Miami or Florida as a whole just doesn't exist anymore in the fall.
Broken off.
I think Florida like nuked itself or something. Like, I think Florida is just fucking gone in the fall. It's all irradiated. Like, it's not habitable. Like, Florida seems like kind of place where it's, nah, man. After the nukes dropped, like, everybody in Florida just took each other out. It was it was too busy down there. But yeah, I'm down to see other countries. I'm down to see new locations in Fallout. And that's it for the Super Chats. Now it's time for kindoffunny.com/you're wrong. Where you write in, let us know what we got wrong as we got it wrong. So we can credit for those watching later on YouTube and listening later on podcast services around the globe. Nitro writes in and says, Final Fantasy VII Remake is on PC, which is not what we're talking about. That's not what we said. We said,
I was saying that the sequel is going to be on PC.
Said Rebirth. We're talking about Rebirth.
No, I think they're correcting me. I think I misspoke at some point.
Oh, gotcha. When you were talking, I heard you as like Rebirth.
Yeah.
Talking about, is this next one going to be on PC? But yeah, it will. Impossibilium says, added context for Warhammer games. The IP owners are very loose with who they license Warhammer games to. So there are a lot of developers and publishers that make Warhammer games across numerous games or numerous genres. That's why there's a high quantity of Warhammer and varying quality. Cool. Razio says, John Drake works for Disney games, not Marvel games. I still imagine him in the rooms, though.
Yeah.
I think he's still in the rooms. He might not be the guy that's
hand
like...
in the hundreds.
But he might not be the one guy hand in the hundreds, but I think like the... is it Bill that's Marvel Games? It might be Bill. But I think whoever is like Marvel Games person looks over at John and is like, yo, and John gives him the nod, and then Bill starts putting out the fucking bills.
Putting the 20s on the table. What is it for? I don't know. I think it's just parking.
Yeah, this is so
we don't validate parking, but here it is, man. Here's a few 20s.
Yeah, Bill Roseman is the VP and creative director at Marvel Games. So yeah, I think Bill is putting down the bills for when they're at his desk and they're like, "Yo, Marvel 1943."
I love that.
Marvel's Rise of Hydro 1942.
Cap and Pants.
And the open world Black Panther game, right? I'm sure he hears that and he's like, "Boom, bang. Hundreds."
Sly Cooper takes the money off the table.
Sly Cooper comes through, stealthily steals it. He's like, I'll take that. Nitro writes in and says, Marvel 1943, Rise of Hydra is coming. See, okay, I'm getting to the bottom of this.
Is it 42 or 43?
Yo, it's 1943. I got it right the first time.
Damn.
Y'all had me confused this entire episode. I got it right.
You're wrong yourself, chat.
And, well, it's Barrett that got it wrong.
No, fuck. Yeah. I'm trying to give you the benefit of the doubt.
I'm a fucking idiot today. I'm sorry. Barrett, come on. Most days.
But yeah, Marvel 1943, Rise of Hydra is coming.
Let's continue to like gaslight Blessing into thinking it's actually 42.
Just a little bit.
It's coming 2025, according to the most recent trailer. Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
Did it say 2025?
Yeah.
Oh, shit, then my bad.
Again,
I take that back.
I thought we were also speculating on the open world Black Panther game of like that game is probably not coming for...
Well, no, I said both. I was saying...
And then I would say that this Black Panther open world game is 2027.
I could buy that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Kebab says it was recently confirmed that the trailer for the Sly Cooper movie wasn't a trailer. It was an internal concept video meant to pitch what the movie would be like. The movie was canceled after the failure of the Ratchet and Clank movie in 2016.
Fucking, but the movie made the game. So then if you make the movie, you make another game.
And then Tedra Boy says the locusts from Gears are not aliens. They're actually a race of genetically altered humans that established their civilization.
He said aliens from the ground. Shut the fuck up. It's the same thing.
In this game,
they're aliens
defend the
to humans. They're aliens to humans.
Defend the planet from alien invasion. Remember those used to be my examples in all the messy mashups.
Yeah.
When you don't play Gears, they seem like aliens. I'm sorry.
Yeah. And I played all the Gears. They're aliens. Let's be honest with ourselves.
Apparently that's a spoiler, but it's a spoiler for a game that came out in 2008, and so you're fine. If you haven't played the Gears, if you haven't played Gears 1 by now.
Oh, it's from 5? Oh, I don't know.
Oh, it's from 5? My bad.
I never finished 5 either, so that's a spoiler for me. Okay.
Shit. Well, actually, holy shit.
Oh, wow. That's a I managed to finish that fucking game.
That brings us
I got stuck on the ice planet.
We gotta get out of here, Roger. We gotta get out. They're getting mad in the chat. Well, that's it for Kinda Funny Games Daily. Of course, each and every weekday, we run you through the nerdy news you need to know about live on YouTube, Twitch, and on podcast services around the globe. If you love what we do, support us with the Kinda Funny membership on Patreon or YouTube to get all of our shows ad-free, watch, score them live, and get a daily exclusive show. Until next time, Game Daily.